Okay, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, theys and thems, welcome back to the TGNF offshoot off-season spin-off podcast about Sarah J. Maas. We're here tonight to discuss
Crescent City.
The man of the moment, the woman of the moment, and joining us is, you know her, you love her. You might not, but you should. Carly Gerard, Nicole's life partner and roommate and our best
everyone.
Friend.
Hi, everyone. Hello, hello. Excited to be here. First time on the podcast. Kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
I feel like it's crazy.
Yeah, I think you have sound bites.
I'm sure you do.
I don't think that you've ever had like
I've never
a
had
personal,
the chance to really like speak my truth.
You were in part of the video of the wine tasting though, because you were kind of our producer.
That's fair. That is so fair.
I was supposed to be in the video.
I was supposed to be in the video. Like I was there. Like I was a hand.
You were there.
Yeah.
There's video footage of you crawling backstage, setting things up for us. So. Anyways, Carly and I, well, Nicole too, we're all on our reread of Crescent City to get us ready for Crescent City 3.
I literally, no joke, 10 minutes ago finished my reread.
I have like 1% left, so I haven't actually finished. I'm pretty positive that Nick will be finishing while we're recording this, so
Which,
he
like,
may
he
run
has,
in.
I was going to say, if he has to come in, like I need, because like I didn't get to see the joy of seeing somebody else finish. Like you watch, like we were literally sitting here and you were watching me as I finished reading the book. And like, I need to see that.
Yeah.
I need to like talk to someone right after.
That's fair.
It's like, crazy. Yeah. Well, okay. So
let's get into it.
We're going to get into it. So Carly, the first question we have for you, and this is something that we've done on all of our Sarah J. Maas podcast so far, we've asked our guests where does Crescent City place in your ranking of Sarah J. Maas series? So rank the 3 Sarah J. Maas series for us.
Would love to. So as you guys know, I've just finished Throne of Glass like this summer, and that was like the my culmination of the SJM universe. And I think then I for preparation for Crescent City 3, I did reread Crescent City 1 and 2. And when I was reading Throne of Glass, I was like, I love Throne of Glass. But guys, I think Crescent City might be my favorite.
You said the same thing?
No, like, I think that, and it definitely shows, like, obviously, Crescent City is her, like, most recent work. Mm-hmm. Like, it shows that she, like, kind of had, like, a very clear vision of what she wanted to get done in the 2 books.
And, yeah.
Like, I think she was able to create that so well within literally, like, what, 1,600 pages?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Throne of Glass just felt like she kind of was like, okay, now I'm thinking that I want to do this, so I'm going to, like, figure out how I can, like, Easter egg that into the next book.
Yeah.
But yeah, so mm-hmm. I think I would go Crescent City, Throne of Glass, and ACOTAR. I loved ACOTAR, but like
when you put them up against
each other, like
yeah,
I love the story
tough.
Between Rhys and Feyre, but like the rest of it, like the world building was like kind of mid. I think it's going to come back into Crescent City as mm-hmm. we'll discuss more, but like, I think that like, yeah, Crescent City. And I just
think
love,
that's fair.
And like Bryce is like probably my favorite SJM like female main character.
Okay. Love that.
Interesting. Okay. Love that.
But just
as you've dyed your hair,
my hair
Bryce
is
Quinlan color.
Bryce
for...
Quinlan again. Like we're like I'm loving this. I'm loving this journey. Yeah.
I love that.
I'm buzzing for the next book, like truly. And now that it's like so close, it felt like so far away for the longest time. And like now
it's so like, close, guys. It's
right.
So close.
That kind of makes me sick when I think about it, that it's like so close that we're going to
1 week tomorrow.
So many things.
Yeah.
So many answers.
I'm so like, amped.
I'm like giddy. Like I feel like there is like a literal buzz in me right now. Like I feel like my voice is shaking a little bit. Like I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Okay. The first question is kind of like overarching for Crescent City, but like how do we feel about the era and setting being so different from ACOTAR and Throne of Glass? Like those are two very like medieval, I guess,
yeah.
is like maybe the best way to describe it.
Yeah, traditionally
and then
fantasy,
Crescent City. Yeah.
It's
like how did we feel about that?
Sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like futuristic-y.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it was tough for me to get into when I first read.
I remember
Crescent
you
City.
Like started me, you were like, you just have to power through like the first 120 pages. Like
yeah.
it's going to be hard because we had just, like, not just read ACOTAR, but, like, we were definitely on, like, that side of fantasy where it was, like, more, like, the ancient world.
Right.
And, like, not having a cell phone and not having email. And I remember...
Nobody had a toilet.
Literally, nobody had a toilet. Like, where are they shitting?
The showers of it, like, all. Yeah. No, it was very much, like, that her having a job and emails really took me out
her
of
having
it.
Having a job?
I was kind of crazy. Like,
I'm reading fantasy.
A job. It was the job of it all.
Like... It was really the job of
her
getting
a paycheck. Like, can't fathom.
So it was tough at the beginning, but the more that I got into the world and the characters, like, the more I fell in love with the setting.
Yeah, kind of, like, it took a long time to get into, but then once I was like, okay, like, stop thinking about ACOTAR and, like, just, like, read the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was
Yeah, I mean, I guess that we split these up by series so that people that haven't read all of them wouldn't get spoiled. So I realized that, Nicole, we probably should have just given our rankings too for all of them, since some people might not listen to our first episode where we gave our rankings. So personally, my rankings go Throne of Glass, ACOTAR, Crescent City, just because I love Throne of, like, I'm obsessed with Throne of Glass. ACOTAR holds a special place in my heart because it's the first one that I ever read. Mm-hmm. And then Crescent City, just because it's the shortest one. And the setting really, like, I couldn't get into it at first. And it still kind of, like, keeps me out of it.
I said Crescent City, and then I think I said Throne of Glass and ACOTAR. I can't really remember. I don't remember.
I think you did.
I feel like it changes day to day, but it was hard for me to really place Crescent City and ACOTAR because, compared to Throne of Glass being a complete series, like, I know how that ends. Yeah. And so, like,
we're doing.
Which is also why I think I probably have that first, because it's, like, complete. And so I'm like, oh, it's her most complete series. I'm like, yeah, it's done.
Yeah, it's done. Like, so obviously. I feel like it's kind of tricky, but I too really love Crescent City. I just think that this is her best writing.
Yeah.
And the best, like, weaving of the story. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely one of my top series.
And, like, to be fair, like, her three series are, like, top 10 in my, like, all time books. So I'm
saying it's that, like, so hard. I'm like,
that's our third. I'm like, but, like, I'm still, like, Court of Mystery.
Yeah, we were like, there's literally, like, three. It's not last. Like, right, there's no, like, losing.
Yeah.
So, okay, we have to, I'm going to preface this next sentence that I'm about to say with, if you're listening to this and you have not read fully finished Crescent City 2, do not listen to this episode.
No.
I beg of you.
You think it'll be okay. It's not. Like, just
you
stop.
You can't. Like, do not listen to any more of this episode unless you have finished every single word of both Crescent City books. And I'm just going to put that out there. Like, there are
including
major spoilers,
the bonus
about
chapters. You got to go find the bonus chapters because we're going to cover
including
some
bonus chapters. Yeah. We are going to cover that. And so I warned you. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. I warned you. Turn this off.
Blaring noise.
Spoiler alert. And so I just have one thing to say to you, ladies. I have one thing to say to you. And that is, hello, Brace Quinlan. My name is Resand.
I'm telling you, I have not, like, there's no drug on this planet that has made me feel how I felt reading those words.
No, you guys, you guys know. So for reference, this book came out President's Day weekend of 2022. Yeah. And Carly, Kate, Nick, and our friend Emily went upstate New York and had a cabin for the weekend. Yeah. And Carly had just started Crescent City.
Yeah, I was, like, just starting it. Kate was, like, finishing the first book.
Yeah, I was halfway through Crescent City 2. Yeah, I was halfway through.
Yeah. And so I'm, like, eating this shit up. And in the, like, 3 a.m., I finished, because I couldn't put it down. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, it's like the last
10%. Because the last 100 pages, like, are true. Like, I was going to bring this up, like, during the podcast, but, like, the last 100 pages of the book go 0 to 100 so quickly that you're like, I'm, like, listening to it at 3 times speed. So I'm like, I got to get, I want to finish before we start recording. But I was like,
you like don't realize how quickly they get to the like Crystal Palace. Yeah. They're just like there. They're and there. I'm like, holy shit, like we have done so much in this book. Yeah. And like, this is how we're gonna end it. And it's gonna just be like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
It is like, just like
imagine.
It's every so single word.
I am reading. I'm alone in my journey.
I'm sleeping.
I'm alone in my journey in Crescent City 2. And Carly is asleep next to me. And I'm like, oh my God, she's landing in hell. Okay. Yeah. All right. There's scarred hands. There's leathery wings. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it smells like jasmine and bread. I'm like, okay, 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 okay. And then it's like, hello, Bryce Quinlan. I'm Roseanne. And I literally sat up
like,
straight.
It was getting in like bed. In Monsters, Inc. when like the like fake child and it's like, like that was like what Nicole was giving. Like I literally like turn over. I'm like, are you okay? I'm like, we're like in the middle of nowhere. First of all, I'm like, is somebody in the cabin? Are we going to die? And you were just like, I can't talk about it. And
I literally laid awake. I laid awake for another hour just thinking things. And then I get up the next morning because
and Kate and are like, oh my God, like how was it in the book? Like we're like, hee.
And I'm like, I don't say anything to them. I walk out and I say, you guys better finish this fucking book immediately because I'm gonna lose it if I can't talk to anyone.
I finished it like 3 hours after we got home from that trip. Yeah,
because you had called me.
And I called you.
Yeah.
And I literally didn't say anything.
I don't remember where you guys, I don't remember where you guys were, but I was just like, somebody needs to fucking finish this book right now.
Yeah, I was almost done. Well, because, and we're going to talk about this because this is our podcast and no one can tell us that we can't talk about things. We did do mushrooms that weekend.
Yes.
Like, all of us together. It was my first experience.
A serious dose of mushrooms.
What did they call it?
A heroic? Serious potential heroic. Overdose.
We had an ego death.
It was
my so first time fun. Ever doing shrooms. And I was halfway through Crescent City 2. When I tell you guys that my entire trip was, I was in Crescent City. I was like, we're making the drop right now. Us doing mushrooms is making the drop. And I was hyper fixated on Crescent City for the duration of that trip. And it was like the only thing I was thinking about. So then I got home and I finished it. And I literally called Nicole, I think for 10 minutes, the only thing I said was,
screamed.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my yeah. God, oh my God. Like I had no... Words.
And it was so funny too because Kate was trying to ask me the technicalities of like the drop and like the ordeal.
And Juniper, and, like you kept bringing up Juniper.
Juniper was like, a big thing.
The hooves.
Yeah. And so I am sitting on the couch next to Kate, tripping balls, trying not to spoil the end of this book because I'm like, God, okay. Oh, she's just asking me a lot of questions, and I'm like, and you hadn't figured out who the Hind was yet. You hadn't gotten to that point where the Hind was
living.
And or Agent Day, yeah. And I was just like, you're so close to thinking about it. I was like, think about the deer. We're on the deer. We're on like, the deer path of Juniper and the deers, and we're getting there, and we're thinking about things. And I was just like sitting on my hands. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna spoil this, but thankfully it did not.
You deserve an Oscar.
First of all, I still think Juniper is going to end up being something. Yeah. I still think Juniper has something to do with more things. So
she's down, but she's not out.
Yeah.
Highly recommend taking shrooms with your friends and pretending to make the drop because
it's very fun. I also, at one point, like I was not doing well and I heard Kate and Nicole talking. I was in the other room. And I was like, oh, they're doing a podcast. Like, I was like, that's so nice. So they were just talking to each other, but they
hadn't even started our podcast yet.
Like, I was like, oh, they're doing it for me.
Yeah. That's how it was.
And here we are. Now we actually are doing a podcast about this.
And so my life
comes around.
For the past 2 years has not been the same. No. Every waking moment has been thinking of theories.
It's like, I would say it's like,
I'm unwell.
I don't think about Avatar that often. Obviously, I think about, like, you know, there you are, I've been waiting for you, and, like, those kinds of things. But, like, I truly, like, once a week, I'm like, we're getting the multiverse. Like, we're, like, they're, like Bryce is in Meridian. Like, I'm, like, thinking about it, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And, like, especially before she announced when the book was coming out, I was like, how long are we going to have to wait?
Yeah,
like,
I
was like, it's been
truly.
Years. And I'm like, how long? And then she said, Carly, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, bitch.
I got you
a literally present. Happy birthday.
It's the book on my birthday.
Okay.
All right.
Let's jump into some questions. We got to get to the theories part of this. Yeah. And so we got to cruise through these discussion points because theories are really important.
We can go
this.
Quick.
Yeah. So those words, hello, Bryce Quinlan, my name is Reese, is literally the last thing in the entire book. So let's go to the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's start from Carson City 1. And I mean, I guess this is throughout the whole thing, but here's a big discussion point is, was Danica a good friend? And was she ever truly herself around Bryce?
I like to think.
And I think this is polarizing.
Yeah. I like to think that before she finds out the truth about, like, Project Dusk, I do think that, like, her and Bryce, like, shared that, like, insane event when they, like, go to, like, the apes. Is that how you say it? The, like,
with the motorcycle.
Yeah. And I do think that, like, that. But I do think that, like, Danica was trying to be the best friend she could be by protecting what she knew because she knew that, like, this was, like, bigger than them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think she, like, wasn't that good of a friend, though, at the same time. Like, I'm, like, there are some things that I'm, like, girl, like, you could have told her that, like, that Vaxian was your mate. Like, you could have told her some things that, like,
or, like, that you were looking into synth. Or that, like, there's, like, a lot of things that I think that she could have told her that I'm, like, it's kind of crazy that everyone else – or, like, other people knew about
things. Like, she was telling Fury, like, everything. Like,
well,
I
don't know.
So
well,
upset.
Here's the thing, though. With Fury, I know. Fury is a different breed of person. And Fury knows everything at all times. So I think Fury, regardless, would have known. Okay. I think that...
But then she talked to her about it, even if...
Like, I think historically, Bryce is a character. And, like, as a person, she was, like, treated as kind of, like, a throwaway.
Yeah.
By, like, everyone. And I think that that's unfortunate. But I think that, like... Bryce leaned into that as her human self. And like, I don't think Danica maybe thought that she should bother Bryce with any of this information because she likely wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
And then she got thrown into this situation where she actually was forced to care. Right. So it was kind of like a, if everything had gone according to plan, like maybe Bryce never would have actually like cared about any of this if Danica hadn't died. Right. Yeah. So I think it's like, it's hard
to say.
Was she
the catalyst of Bryce becoming like a quote unquote like,
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's really hard to say. I think, Carly, you make a good point. Like, I think she was the best friend that she could be in that situation. I think that there was a lot of things that just, like... And you know what? I think it would be interesting if she was the love interest and a man, would we be feeling kind of like, oh, was he just protecting her by, like, not telling her this? Right. So I think it's just, like, an interesting kind of conversation.
Yeah. There's other things where I'm like, you didn't tell her that you were a bloodhound or that who your dad was. Like, I feel like there's little things that I'm like, that's so kind of insignificant that like, not insignificant, but like the fact that like Connor and Ethan knew her.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
and I'm just like, there's like some,
it was like,
I don't know,
not to talk about a different series,
but
like with Zayden and Violet, and he's like, well, you didn't ask the questions. Well, maybe Bryce wasn't in like, curious about these things, like maybe she never brought them up, and so Danica was never like, well, it's not ever a conversation that we're having, so like, why would I just volunteer this information that could potentially be a danger to me but also to someone that I love? So I don't know.
I think there's arguments for both ways. She's a good friend, but also that she was maybe not.
I think people who are very decidedly on the she's a bad friend camp, like, I think that they just don't see the larger,
like, female friendships.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think that they have, like, a larger image of female friendships there, but I think it's just, like, she has bad qualities, but I don't think that makes her a bad friend.
The part that did kill me, though, that was when... Like, she finally can, like, Bryce confronts Vaxine, and she was like, did she say that she loved you? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, my heart kind of broke in that moment because she was like, Bryce only told me that I love you.
So Danica,
like, And I was like, at that point, I'm like, you could have, like, I don't know. It felt like there was points where I was like,
could have at least been like, I met someone.
Yeah. Because she was like,
I met someone, and like, he's not from here. And like, I
you don't know
like,
him.
I
he goes to a different school.
You wouldn't know him. Like, yeah. Crazy. Like, he might be like working for like Sandriel and like the Triari, but like, but yeah. Like, no, I was like, she pieced things together, just not enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, broke me a bit.
But again, I reread Bryce making the drop with Danica, light it up, bitch. Yeah. Like, every time I read that, I cry. Yeah. Like, it makes me cry every single time.
Every time.
Yeah, it's just, it is really emotional. Yeah. And so, like, I think regardless of what you have to say about Danica, she was there for Bryce in a time of desperate need.
I also feel like the people that are like, Danica's a bad friend, are the people that are like, I could withstand torture.
Yeah.
And or like different things. And you're like, you've literally never been in that scenario. Yeah. So you don't actually know. Yeah. It's like, just like so like cut and dry. And I don't think it's a cut and dry thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, okay. Another tough one is, what do we think about the Oracle's prophecy on Rune and like what's that gonna do? Because as a reminder, the Oracle's prophecy to Rune was like, the royal bloodline will end with you. Uh-huh. And so throughout the series, he's pretty much like, I'm either like infertile or like I'm everyone, like Bryce is gonna die, or like everyone, like I'm never gonna have kids. And he gets really nervous about that with Bryce. But then at the end of Crescent City 2, he comes back and he says, I actually think it meant that they didn't know that you were going to come along. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to end up being.
Yeah, because she is like
the queen. Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I also think could be valid, because the Oracle couldn't see Bryce's future because Bryce
blinded her.
So like, yeah, very fair for the Oracle to not know that Bryce was like gonna be in the picture.
Yeah, that's accurate. I am just scared because I sent you guys that screenshot today where Cormac is talking to Rune and he goes, you and I have the same fate. One of us is just gonna step up to meet it. And then immediately the screenshot of Cormac being deceased. And I'm like, because obviously Sarah has said you should be very worried about Rune and Hunt in the dungeon.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm scared. I'm just like really worried about Rune's future. Yeah. And I don't want him to die.
There was something actually that I highlight it? I might have, hold on, I have to check, because it was like so recently, and it was someone telling Bryce that they have the same fate. It was like near the end, Carly. I don't know if you like picked up on that.
The same fate as who?
Bryce. That's what I'm trying to remember.
Bryce and whoever.
Hold on. Same fate. I don't know. Hold on. I'm trying to figure it out. Because I highlighted it. I've been absolutely trigger happy with the highlights right now. Yeah. On
at one point, I was like highlighting like a full page. I was like, okay, I gotta cut this down.
Me too. I'm like three pages at a time. I'm like, okay, yeah. Kate, just read the book again. I don't know what to say. Like, okay, hold on. I'm looking
at while you find that, what do we think about, speaking of Oracle's prophecies, what do we think about the Oracle's words to Hunt about him staying well away from Bryce Quinlan?
Okay, but I think that could also mean like apart.
Okay.
Like, stay apart from her. Like, so he's gonna stay in Midgard and she's obviously going to Perinthian. So it's like, you have to send her away.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. I didn't actually think of it that way.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think
about
it. That
was like,
because the way it's phrased is like, you best
to stay away.
Yeah.
Not that, like, don't be with her, like, in a romantic sense.
Yeah.
But, like, well, I mean, kind of like the serial in ACOTAR when they, oh, I guess we can't talk about that in case people haven't actually read ACOTAR and they won't read this, but like, come on, guys.
That part. Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, the one thing I love about Sarah is that she will twist the words so well. Sarah.
Oh, Janice. I thought you said Feyre. I was like,
what? I thought you said Feyre too. Oh,
Miss Moss, like, twists the words so well that you think it means one thing until you, like, get to it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah. What does she say? She says, do yourself a favor, keep well away from Bryce Quinlan. Yeah. It's also scary because, if you know anything about Orion, obviously Hunt's name is Orion, right? And if you know anything about his mythology, in one of his versions of his story, he is killed by his lover, or he's killed by his lover's brother. Mm-hmm. So this is a kind of sticking point because it's like, all right, the Oracle warning him to stay away from Bryce because it's going to ultimately lead to his untimely death? Which really makes me scared.
Okay, so I found the other thing about like fate and like our fate's the same. It wasn't Bryce. It's the hind. And she says that her fate is bound to Pollux.
Yes.
And then Rune says, no, your fate is bound to mine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what does that mean? What do you mean your fate is bound to Pollux? Like, what does that mean? What does it mean?
Well, I think this goes into a question that I have around, obviously we know Lydia, aka the Hind, and Hypaxia are sisters, right? They have different fathers, but ultimately they're sisters. But there's also, you know, I can't really talk about this too much, but maybe there's, it's very, it's talked about a lot that Hypaxia is a necromancer and she's able to bring people back to life. Lydia's fate being tied to Pollux have to do with potential that she was not like necessarily born, but she was like raised from the dead. And so now her fate is tied to Pollux in a way that we just simply can't understand right now.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. We are absolutely jumping around in this episode.
Yeah, but it's just
I hope people are following along with our brains right now because they're just...
We're the Charlie Day meme. Like, this is how this book makes you feel. It's like you go from one thing and then you end up at the end of the book talking about what happens at the end. Like, sorry. Can't help it.
Yeah.
And if you read the book, you would understand. Like, anyone who's read this book knows exactly what we're talking about. So...
Yeah. This one's a more like fun, not very theory heavy one. But what do we think Sunball is?
I think it's baseball.
That's what we got like 5 questions in our question box about Crescent City being like, what the fuck is Sunball? Like,
well, one, he's always wearing a Sunball hat, which I assume is baseball. Like a baseball hat. So like, what else are you going to win? Bryce is always like, oh, I remember like, you know, sitting in the stands on a sunny day, like cheering for Ethan. And so it just is the equivalent. It's either that or it's like kickball. Like, that's how I imagine it. Like, it is out.
Kickball.
Yeah. But they also talk about a bunch. They're like, people are screaming at the TV, like, pass him the ball, like, pass the ball. So I'm like, I think it's like a mix between like football.
Does she ever talk about it? Does she ever like, Sarah?
Yeah. I don't know if she's ever confirmed. But like, I also feel like people are like, oh, like we see this like athleticism from him, like of like sizing up his opponents on the Sunball field. And I am like, that doesn't feel like baseball. You don't like size up your opponents in baseball. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's almost like rugby-ish. Like,
I'm gonna be rugby honest, football. The least of my worries when it comes to things in this book where I have, it's just like a word
it's
that I read
always
about,
on my mind.
I don't think about it.
No, it's always on my mind because they talk about it so often.
Somebody said it's like rugby. I'm on Reddit right now, so which would kind of make it stressful.
I would love for Sarah to confirm. Okay.
I have no clue. I went through thinking baseball, but now I'm halfway through Sky of Breath and they just mentioned a goal post.
Okay, so there is a goal. So it's definitely not baseball.
So it's not baseball. You know what?
Who's See, this is one of the other things about Crescent City that always just like pulls me out of it because I'm like, what the fuck is this? But I'm like, there's enough similarities with like real life that I'm like, it has to be something, but it like pulls me out of the story so much because I'm like, I like have to know what this is.
Okay, one thing we have to talk about, speaking of it being similar to real life, we have to discuss the fact that it's potentially Zootopia fanfic.
Yeah, like, and that I feel we like that's canon that. For me. Like, she said that she, because when she was reading these books, her like son was like of the age that Zootopia had just come out.
So I think it is like budding cop, like
buddy cop, animals in a metropolis situation,
grumpy male investigator, excited female, like, and they end up falling in love,
right? He's right through you.
Like, there's nothing getting past us.
So I find it so funny to think about the concept that this book that is driving us literally insane is literally just Zootopia fanfic.
Like, unbelievable. Okay, we have to talk about something sad now.
Okay.
And that's La Haba.
Guys,
her death
wrecked me. Like, more than Danica is. I'll say it. Like, I don't
know. We didn't care 100%. About Danica when she died. Like,
no, that's... I was like, holy shit. Like, we're going 0-100.
No, I definitely was like, yeah, I was surprised. Yeah. But you didn't really have any emotional attachment to Danica at that point. Lahaba.
And you didn't experience the actual death. Lahaba was like right there and she sacrificed herself.
Like, I'm sending you the bill to my therapist. Like, you can't say that. Like, you can't say that. And it's like, I also feel like
it makes me so sad. Yeah. I can't even like hand. I like actually can't. Every single time I even like think about the words, I'm with my friends and I am not afraid. Like, I cry.
The second book, when they like talk about her, when they free the other sprites from the ring. Yeah. And I was like, Bryce was like, okay, I gotta go. Like, she can't talk about it. I was like, I can't talk about it. Like, I sent you a photo of me crying. I was like, it's getting to me.
Yeah, sure no. Death. It's, do I think she had a fitting death? Absolutely. I think she, for lack of a better
term. Her person, final act of freedom.
Like, she went out in a ball of flame.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that it was, she cared deeply about her friends. And it was just so apparent in the way that she went.
Yeah.
I feel like the sprites and like the lowers are gonna have more of a plot point in the next book, because I feel like she did such a detailed description of like how they were like banned to like being like lowers and like bringing up the dragon. Like, I was like, something's happening here, because like, why are you bringing up their lineage so much, like more than any of the others? Like, I feel like we get so much more of how these like lowers and how they like fought the rebellion, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you bringing this up so often?
Yeah.
Because every time I bring up this phrase, it's like, well, as lowers, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Keep saying it. Keep telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Which similarly, like, because, I think that makes a lot of sense, because they weren't House of Flame and Shadow, but House of Flame and Shadow is coming, and that's where I'll feel like a lot of the lowers are. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a big Jezebel book. Because it's like, I need to know like why she defected from her house and joined
Flame and
this
Shadow.
One. Like, yeah. And I want, like, we need to know a lot more about Jezebel.
We know
too little
about Jezebel, if I'm being quite
but
honest.
She's always present. Like, she's literally one of like the most present characters. Like, she's always helping out.
No,
she's
I know.
Always like there. And I'm like, I need to know, like, I want to know so much more about her.
But Whomstish, this foxy little minx, like,
there's like, because I was like, I'm reading back on when the Under King, he was like, I don't know her by that name, but yes. I'm like, what
so
name?
What name do you,
so what name?
So what's the name what then? Name
like, so many questions. Also, the astronomer.
The astronomer.
Like,
yeah.
Which is really hard because of your, Antichrist presentation. I'm always like, I'm just thinking about that every time I
Johnny astrologer.
I'm like, not the astrologer, but anyways,
screaming.
I don't know why. Like, every time I think, I'm like, oh, maybe the Antichrist is.
Which is kind of fair though, because John the astrologer did send people out to like
go he traveled find worlds out, so. To go back in time and space.
Maybe Sarah knows the Antichrist lore.
Sarah knows the Antichrist lore for sure. That's.
Wow. Okay, she knows the secret.
Like,
okay, remember, William just skips around so much. I like don't even know where to go right now. This is chaos. This is chaos.
Okay, well, let's get into the Princes of the Pit. Also, so obviously, Crescent City 2 is split up into the 7 sections, which are all the different layers of hell.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do we think? Okay, do we think Prithian is hell? Or do we think that she has been taken to Prithian because of the horn?
I would say that Sarah said that the horn responded to Bryce's magic more than it responded to, like, where she wanted to go.
Like, also, like, it pulled her into Prithian, right?
It took her where she needed to go, not where she wanted to go. So she kind of said, like, it's not hell. Because we also know that hell is a different planet than the one that her fae are supposed to have come from. And we are pretty sure that the planet that she's supposed to have come from is Prithian.
Yeah. But I will say this, and this is not really a spoiler. It's connected to ACOTAR, but I think at this point, if you've read Crescent City 2, you know there's a crossover with ACOTAR, so we can kind of like talk maybe some of the characters. Yeah. There is a part in Missing Fury, maybe, where Kier is talking and he goes, oh, Lord Thatnos has had issues with his daughter.
Yeah.
And Thatnos is also one of the princes of the pit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. And again, Sarah keeps a list of names she that knows. She does not reuse. And so like, that is the only thing that's kind of like alarm bells in my mind where it's like, maybe it is, but like, we don't really have a concept of what like hell actually is.
Yeah.
Because also don't forget in the prologue, when the Hind's talking to Sophie and she's like, what do you know? And Sophie says, go to hell.
Yeah.
Like literally at the end of the book, like where that's where Bryce is supposed to be. Like she's supposed to go to hell. Yeah. And so like, it's right there.
I never put that together. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
And so it's kind of like, oh, what's going to be the actual truth? Like, do we actually understand what the levels of hell look like? Or
like, are different planets different levels?
I don't really understand how hell is laid out. I'm hoping we get a little bit more context.
But you
into
also have to remember that, like, the Ciri have kind of formed what hell is to the people of Midgard.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So it's like, they only talk about how it wasn't, like, viable for life because the princes kicked them out. But, like, they could also just be, like, fucking around and being like, oh, there's these many levels and, like,
And there's the seven princes of the pit, and there's the seven courts, and it's kind of like, what? And seven is a big number for Miss SJM.
Yeah.
Seven Asteri, seven gates.
There's seven of everything.
Yeah. Seven gates, seven courts.
Seven candles for that Hypaxia uses to do her necromancy stuff.
Yep.
So, okay, here's a question, because this ties into, like, obviously what Bryce finds when she goes into Dusk, the room in the Asteria Archives, and finds this, like, model of the solar system. So here's my question about the Autumn King.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, he's an asshole. Everyone knows he's an asshole. He, like, tortured Rune when he was younger and has just been, like, a huge dick the whole series. But he has an orrery in his office that is very similar to the one that the astronomer has and very similar to the one in the Asteri's archives.
That's
also very similar to one that maybe shows up in ACOTAR. However, she goes, what are you like? Someone's talking to him and he's like, you have no idea what I'm looking for. Like, I'm looking for something similar.
I highlighted that part and it was basically, they get to see him and he goes, you have no clue what I'm looking for. And she goes, what does that mean? And he goes, the truth. So he's been looking for the truth for however many years. And it's like, holy shit. Like, you know, I think he's a bad guy, but like, he's, I actually be on our side.
I know. I feel like we, the thing is I don't love that he potentially was abusing Rune, but I feel like it has to mean something deeper. Because again, this is a tie into ACOTAR a little bit. Not really a spoiler, but Azriel, if you've met him before, he has burn marks on his hands.
Yeah.
And so like, that feels so like equivalent to runes like burn marks, right? And so Autumn Court, Autumn King, like there's so many kind of tie-ins there that I just don't know if he's necessarily as bad as we think he is.
Also, Bryce is told by Regulus, whatever, however we're going to say it, that her star glows for the people that are closest to where her people came from. And that's like Cormac and the Avalon Fae. The Avalon Fae. And who did the Autumn King betroth her to? The Prince of the Avalon Fae. Does he know something where he's like trying to figure out the truth? And either that's going to push Bryce in the right direction or it's going to make her stronger, especially now that he knows that she's starborn. And maybe because he did say like he did that for her. And
Zezeba also says like, think about the pros.
Consider this before
you consider the pros before you are a cliche and say no.
I know.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we could potentially get an Autumn King role reversal because I think she really does also like doing that in the Crescent City book specifically. Yeah. She really likes to make you feel one way about a character and then like turn it on its head. Like at the end of Crescent City 2, she's like, oh, Celestina, who you really loved this whole book, like, surprise, she actually sold you out. Or like, oh, Baxian, surprise, you like him. Oh, the Hind, surprise, she's a good guy. Where I could then see it being like, oh, you think the Autumn King is a piece of shit? Surprise.
Like, did some pretty fucked up shit too. Yeah. And like, turns out she was only doing it for the greater good, right? And also, like, in terms of him marrying off Bryce to the Valenfae, I highlighted today the argument that Rune and him have where he goes, Cormac is the son that I was supposed to have. And so this kind of ties into my theory that I don't actually think that Rune is the Autumn King's son.
So the bloodline ends with him because he's not actually
in the royal bloodline. Yeah. Because like, again, with the bonus chapter, if you go and read that, like, you learn a little bit more about Rune's mom and like how she kind of like lives on her own. She's so afraid to ask the Autumn King for anything. Like, but like, for all intents and purposes, like, she gave him an heir to the throne. Like, she should be taken care of, right? And I think it's just because she knows that she and him both know that he's not actually his son. And
then
that
brings up, it's like, then why, but why did he say that he was? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, he knows something, which...
I think it's probably, it's either he knows something or something happened, like, when Bryce announced her mating with Hunt, and it was like in this like public setting or something where it was like in his best interest to just go along with it, and then once he did that, he couldn't kind of go back on it.
Right.
So I think there's more to the picture of you know what, I think the theme of Crescent City is like not judging a book by its cover. And we find that out with like Hunt straight away. We find like Micah is like painted in a pretty decent light the whole time, like not the best light, but you don't think that he's the one that murdered anyone. Like Danica is painted as like Bryce's best friend, but then there's like all these secrets that she had. So I feel like the whole thing is like you don't actually know anyone, and so I'm like very intrigued to find out about these other characters that have been like very much like painted in a certain way, like what's actually happening under there.
Well, I was looking at my theories. I have a lot of theories from when I was reading it the first time, and I had initially thought theory three Pollux and Baxian are actually rebels. So obviously Baxian turns out to be a good guy, but I had theorized early on that Pollux was also like a good guy. And this was before you find out that they're mates and whatever. And I said, here were my reasonings. One, Pollux was hooking up with the Hind. So at this point I had figured out that the Hind was Lydia. Baxian says something vague, like, you just endured it in a different way to Hunt. Cause when he's talking about like the torture, Lysandriel torture. And then I said, question, why are they in Crescent City as 007s to work with Hunt to lead the rebellion? And then two people have used the Hind's real name, only Sophie and Baxian. And I said, I don't know why yet, but I think this has meaning.
Okay, obsessed with that. Did you – so you just said that you had figured out that Lydia was Agent – Day.
Yes.
How did you find that out beforehand? Like, did you guess that?
Yeah, I knew pretty quickly that she was Agent Day. And I had, this is first theory. Theory one, Rune and the Hind are endgame.
How'd you figure that out?
One is that obviously in the beginning, in like the second chapter, Rune is hooking up with a fawn. So we're here with the deer imagery already. So I'm like, okay, that's a red flag for me. Quote unquote, he feels like he's cheating on Hypaxia. I said both are kind of the black sheep of their siblings, i.e. less powerful. my theory was she's on the other end of the crystal working with the rebels, and she does the dirty work for the Asteri, and her and Rune are going to fall in love. Okay. Right.
Check. Damn.
And then I said, question, why didn't the Hind actually kill Sophie? Because she's working with them. See theory two.
What's theory two?
Theory two is Hind and Hypaxia are working together. Hypaxia can raise the dead. Hind knows this. And Fate killed Sophie. So even if she did drown and die, Hypaxia could save her. Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't right about that one. No one's actually met the king of the Bone Quarter. I think Hypaxia actually loves him and they're working together. Okay, that one was
kind of for like for nothing.
And then I was thinking about this, but I had a theory that Sophie was the Reaper that they see before Therion shows up at the park. I don't know why. That one's kind of wild. And then
interesting.
The Hind knew where Sophie was so quickly because she was the one communicating with her.
Yeah.
Was right on that.
That was right.
So I just knew that there were like so many parts.
Yeah.
That were just like signaling. So I was like, oh my god, she's obviously the Hind. So it was there for me. I picked up on it pretty quickly, not to like brag or whatever.
Yeah, that's really good for you. Like, I'm actually like really impressed.
I figured it out when they were at the Equinox, and he thinks it's the Harpy, and then she's like, and then I saw the Hind, and I was like, oh, she was there because she was going to hurt him.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was like, not paying attention to that. Not like not, but like
I wasn't trying to put it together. I wasn't really trying to solve it. I was like, I'll figure it out when I figure it out. Like
giving the riddle.
Literally, Nick with the riddle. I was like, I think honestly, also, I was really embarrassed that I didn't get the riddle. So like, I wasn't trying to solve it.
Yeah, no.
I was not trying to solve any problems in here. So I was like, I've clearly proven that I can't, so I'm not even gonna try. But okay, there was, and I think, I don't know, you put in here, Nicole, a question, Lydia and Hypaxia, do we think they're actually related?
Yeah.
And I think we do get that because Rune at the end of CC2 was like, oh, that's why Lydia's scent was familiar to me because it was part Hypaxia's.
Yeah.
And then he said blood doesn't lie. So I think they definitely are related.
Yeah.
But
there's too many things that are left unanswered about the Hind and kind of like who she is. And so like,
but
I'm excited.
How did this happen?
I was gonna say, we know from the spoiler, not the spoiler, but from the teaser that SJM gave, like, we're getting
the first POV. Chapter is Lydia's POV.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be good, but this is going to break me.
Yeah.
This is going to break. This will hurt.
Yeah. And so it's also like, okay, Rune can't trust Lydia anymore, right?
I mean, like even so the part like, where like she's like trying to like communicate with him when they're like walking to the dungeon and she's like, Rune, and he's like, I'm blocking her out. I was like,
blocked.
I'm like, dude, like, maybe you should have like listened. Like, I don't know. I was like, maybe she could have like done
things. Yeah.
I can't do anything, but I was like, ugh.
I know. It's
classic male.
I want to know more about her. She's had to go through some real fucking shit. And like, I want to know more because also obviously like in the beginning, in the prologue, like they talk about, okay, she drops the stone, right? She's obviously working. And like, even Sophie questions, like, could she be the one that I like, could this person be the one I'm like talking to on the other end of the stone? And it's like, yes, obviously, very clearly right there. And so I how did she get here? How did she turn, like, when was she bad? Like, when was she good? When was she bad? Like, I need to know.
Which also we need to talk about is at the end when she's walking the three of them to the chambers.
Yeah.
And obviously Bryce like runs away. Rune says, or it's either Rune or Hunt says, it looks like Hunt, or not Hunt, it looks like the Hind whispered something in Bryce's ear.
Mm-hmm.
I think she, I mean, it was like in the dungeon, they're on the ground, and it was like Bryce is like punching her, and they're about to come in, and that's when they say she whispers something, and I'm pretty sure she's whispering like, they're unlocked. Like, because then Hunt is like, oh, the Hind didn't lock the, I think she was telling her, like,
which would tie back to the fact that Sophie's chains were not locked when she got dropped into the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
So again, it kind of comes back. Like, she is very clearly like in their best interest, but doesn't Bryce has a stone in her pocket, right?
Yes.
So she has the stone in her pocket.
The comms one. So I think that Rune can then, like, or maybe Hunt can.
Or maybe it's going to be Lydia. Oh, no, because Lydia has the one. Yeah. I don't know.
So,
I'm very excited about that little number.
I want to talk about Therion because he has a big come up in this book.
Come up and maybe some fall from grace. I'll say it. Hi, low.
He's the one that instigates this entire thing because the River Queen is like, find Emil. And so he brings them all into this. I don't know. I feel like, and then he just kind of becomes like.
He's like the sidekick that nobody asked for, but everybody loves. Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, there's Therion again.
To be honest, though, I didn't love his chapters. I kind of found myself being like, I don't really want to read about Therion anymore.
I know, but, like, now, like, once I brought this up too, guys. Yeah. They never mention the River Queen's daughter's name. And I'm like, that is so interesting. And I had to Google it because I was like, maybe I'm just, like, skimming over her name. And I, like, Google, like, the River Queen's daughter. And they were like, she's never named. And I'm like, Sarah would never unintentionally not.
She's very, very intentional. And so
I don't know where that's leading. That is like a pin in the theory.
And it was enough for him to defect and literally like take the blood oath to the Viper Queen, where he was like, "I don't want to marry this girl. Like that's gonna ruin my entire life." Yeah. And to just like go into the fighting pits, which is insane behavior. So she must be. Yeah, I want to know more about the Viper Queen, too. Like,
yes, definitely. And, like, why she's kind of, like, a queen unto herself. Like, she's, like, I don't answer, like, why doesn't she answer to anyone?
Yeah, she rules her own.
Yeah. Like, she was, like, not even the Asteria could stop
very
her.
Very bizarre.
Like, why?
Why?
Why? Her and Jezebel are kind of in cahoots, too. So it's kind of, like, what's...
Yeah, I feel like it's, like, the River Queen, the Autumn King, the Astronomer, Jezebel. Anyone else?
The Viper Queen?
Yeah.
Said her. I feel like they're all kind of on their own journeys. Like,
the five of them, we can say the River Queen and the Viper Queen, the five of them have something going on.
Like, that we don't know about.
We don't know about. And I'm stressed.
Yeah.
In a fun way. In like a good way.
You want to know what I want to know about too, which is I feel like this book also really set us up for things are going to be going down in Midgard while Bryce is in Prithian in this next book. And I'm excited about it because we also got left with the fact that Ethan did not go with the rest of them to this big thing that they did with like confronting the Asteri and causing the ruse, whatever. He stayed to guard the missing Fender Alpha heir that is one of the mystics. And so like what's gonna go down there? What's her relation to Danica? Like, because they even ask it, they're like, is it like the Prime's like sister or another daughter? And Ethan's like, I don't think so, because Sabine like fought her brother and won out. And so it's like, who is this person to them?
Well, they even talk about when, because, like, Danica begins the journey looking into her, like, lineage.
Yeah.
And, like, how all of the lineage between, like, the first person and then, like, basically the Prime is, like, gone.
Yeah.
And he says it's, like, we were, like, our truest selves then and, like, we're not proud of it. So I'm like, who is that?
Right.
Like, what?
There's just I want to know a lot more about the Prime, too.
Like,
there's got to be more to him.
Everyone in the astrologer situation, I want to know more about the dragon girl.
Yes.
We got to know more about this dragon
girl. Yeah.
Like, there's so much that we don't know about her. Like, the sprites, like, the mystics.
That's what I'm saying. The lower is, like, I think they're going to have, like, a huge...
I have a theory pertaining to the astrologer that will need to be covered.
Post-haste?
Post-haste.
Okay.
Okay. I also feel like she is very intentional, again, with names and, like, mythology. And the fact that she named the dragon Ariadne is, like, such Greek mythology.
And they even, like, bring it up, so too. And they're like, oh, that's, like, kind of, like, ironic that that's your name. So I'm like, okay, we're talking about it.
So we're going to – this is the closing section. That's maybe the longest section. Theories and predictions. So we've already discussed, I think, some of them. But here's the thing. Are Bryce and Hunt endgame?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I think so, but as I've told both of you, I don't know if they're both making it out, which hurts.
Yeah. I think that they're truly mates. And people are like, oh, like, mates are different. And yeah. Sarah, we watched that live stream of Sarah, and they asked this question, like, are they actual mates? And Sarah goes, in the most true sense of the word, yes, they are. So, like, I truly believe that they're going to be endgame. I don't fuck with anyone who ships Bryce and Azriel. Like, no, get like, fucking wrecked.
Go away.
That's like, also just so random. Like, sorry, their sword and their fucking dagger but, might
that's
be.
That's not them.
Yeah, no.
Then why are you not shipping fucking Rune and Azriel? Because he had the star sword. He got it out. Okay, homophobes.
They also have this. Oh, they also have similar powers. Homophobes. So they'd be perfect for each other. The little shadow daddies. So yeah, no, I'm partial to Hunt and Bryce our end game.
Yeah. I would also love, Nicole, for you to give us a quick history lesson here in terms of there's a lot of rumors, theories, question marks surrounding Hunt, especially about his name and his lineage and the fact that at the end or, like, at some point in Crescent City, Mordok, who is also a bloodhound, Danica's father, says, there's something off about you. You don't smell like any angel I've ever met. And, like, obviously, that is, like, purest sense of smell. That's, like, the strongest sense of smell in the planet. So I would love for you to give us a little history lesson on Hunt and, like, what mythology could mean for his character.
So, obviously, we know Hunt's real name is Orion, and if we look into the mythology of that, Orion, like I said, killed by either his lover or his lover's brother, but there's another version of that where, you know, if we dig a little deeper into the constellation, Regulus, how do we say his name? Whatever.
I think it's Regulus.
Regulus?
I think it's Regulus.
Is the biggest and brightest star in the Orion constellation. So I genuinely feel like their fates are tied together in some way. Obviously, he put the crown back on Hunt. So, like, he's going to be controlling Hunt. So, like, that's definitely tied together. But if we look into Orion a little bit deeper, he is also mentioned as the lover of the goddess of dawn,
Whose name?
Whose name means in Arabic, in Hebrew, is Shahar. Okay. So we have Shahar meaning dawn and potentially in mythology, Orion was in love with the goddess of dawn. Okay. Amazing. Check. Mark. That's checking out. But then we also look where Eros took him to Delos, where Artemis kills him, who is his other lover, right? So, and then if you look into Delos, which is a very prophetic Greek island in history, what else is a really prophetic island in history? Dust Court.
Okay.
It was like the prison island, Dust Court on an island. And if we look into Delos, it's an important place. Where it was the birthplace of Apollo, aka the god of light. In fact, in the ancient Greek language, the word Delos means clear, brought to light, or obvious. It was also decreed that nobody was allowed to die on the island or give birth on the island. So it's essentially this place of like eternal life, which kind of checks into the theory that the Dust Court is where people like go to die, or it's like the afterlife, right? So that is all kind of piecing together. Now, I've done a little bit more research on this because I found it interesting. I was kind of going down a rabbit hole, and what I discovered kind of blew my mind. Okay, so Shahar, like we covered, means dawn, but Shahar has a twin whose name is Shalim, who is the god of dusk. Okay, so it makes sense for Hunt to now have loved both the goddess of dawn and the goddess of dusk. And Shalim is
interesting
also,
though, because Shahar in Crescent City had a twin, and that's Sandriel.
Right, which Sandriel I looked up, which was like power hungry, so made sense. Shalim is also identified as the deity representing Venus, or the evening star, and Shahar is the morning star. Okay?
Okay.
Now we're following this rabbit hole down a little bit more. I'm like, okay, morning star. What do we learn about the morning star? What do we learn about the Asteri? Okay, we've got two Asteri that are represented by the morning star and the evening star. Mm-hmm. So we got Esphoros is Greek for morning star, but his Roman name is Lucifer. Okay?
Okay.
And then we also have Hesperus, who is the evening star Asteri. Mm-hmm. And in Greek mythology, Hesperus is the planet Venus in the evening, a son of the dawn goddess Eos.
Okay.
He is the half-brother to the other son, Esphoros, the morning star. So we're tying together the morning star, the evening star, related to the goddess of dawn. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's all tied together. And so...
Yeah, because we need to know more about Shahar, too. She's just, brought up so much, and we just actually don't know that much about her or her rebellion or, why.
Right. And so Venus is called the morning and the evening star because it's the first one to come up at night and the last one to go away in the morning. And Venus is Aphrodite. Venus is the Roman goddess, Aphrodite is the Greek goddess, and the cult of Aphrodite was largely derived from that of the Phoenician goddess Astarte, a cognate of the East Semite goddess Ishtar, whose cult was based on the Sumerian cult of Inanna. Okay, follow me down this hall, okay?
I'm trying.
Ishtar's primary title was the Queen of Heaven, okay? So she is essentially Venus, right? Okay. And her title is the Queen of Heaven. Okay. Who else is the Queen of Heaven? Technically Bryce, because that's where people go to die, right? Mm-hmm. Ishtar's most famous myth is that a story of her descent into and return from the ancient Mesopotamian underworld, ruled by her older sister. Bryce is going to hell. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the most common symbol for Ishtar was the 8-pointed star. The 8-pointed star seems to have originally borne a general association with the heavens, but by the old Babylonian period, it had come to be specifically associated with the planet Venus, with which Ishtar was identified. And she was portrayed as young and impetuous, constantly striving for more power than she had been allocated. And so, for me, I think that's really just a fitting description of kind of what Bryce is going through right now. And so, I'm very kind of interested in this, because I think we've seen her derive a lot of her stories from, Celtic mythology and, Greek mythology, but I really love that this is very, ancient Sumerian mythology. And so that, I was just, Wikipedia clicking on links, and I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Okay, I'm seeing the path here. And while
also, this is her most recent book, and so she needed to go back even further, so, because she couldn't make it too easy for us.
Right, and for me, I was kind of going down the path, and I was like, okay, we could kind of see... But it really struck me when I saw the Queen of the Heavens, and then I was reading more about her symbols and it being the 8-pointed star. The 8-pointed star is such 100%. A huge symbol for Bryce's tattoo and Nesta's tattoo. And that is a huge thing where I was like, this is too close to not be related at all. So I'm kind of interested in the rest of this mythology that and the lore that she has to go through to kind of see how this is going to be. But in that lore where she goes to hell, she basically has to say, she makes a deal. Oh, what I also found interesting was that she stands before her, the god of the underworld, and the 7 judges of the underworld deem her guilty and strike her dead. 3 days later, someone pleads with all the gods to bring her back. All of them refuse her except Enki, who sends 2 beings to rescue her. They escort her out of the underworld, but the guardians of the underworld drag her husband down to the underworld as her replacement. He's eventually permitted to return to heaven for half of the year, while his sister remains in the underworld for the other half, resulting in the cycle of the seasons. But I was like, is this a situation where Hunt has to make a sacrifice and he goes in place of Bryce down the line and is on and we see her rule in the Dusk Court, and he's only able to see her every once in a while. But I'm kind of, it was the 7 gods of the underworld that also kind of was kind of I was like, okay, 7's a big thing, and 7 princes of the pit, which are hell. So I was like, I'm seeing the connections. Yeah. So that's my, that's my theory. That's my TED Talk. I spent a lot of time looking into this today.
I am obsessed. Well, while we're on that kind of topic of the stars and mythology behind that, let's talk about the seventh Asteri.
Yes.
That is no longer there. Sirius mm-hmm. being the brightest star in the sky and being known as the wolf star. And I think there's a lot of theories out there that, that people are like, Danica was the seventh Asteri, which I don't think that's necessarily it. But was there a reason that she was looking into her family's lineage and figuring out where the wolves first came from? And could that have something to do with the wolf star being the seventh Asteri that is dead and eaten by the prince of
the pit?
The pit? The pit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know too much, but also, again, having to do with Orion, Sirius is often referred to as his pet dog. So it's like, that also feels like there's going to be a lot of lineage, which I have often theorized that Hunt's mom that he claims is not actually his mom. And I think I'm thinking that Sirius is actually his mom.
And I like that.
And he put, and she put him with just like a kind of normal woman to kind of like throw people off his scent.
Big Hercules energy.
Yeah. Because but also we're thinking about potentially Thur being
I feel like that's Hunt's like dad. 99% based on my
Which again coming back to my mythology, Poseidon is technically Orion's dad, so he is also a major god. So I think that kind of does make sense. So I'm thinking it was Thur and Sirius are his parents. That's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, but that is interesting too, because when we talk about Regulus being the brightest star in Orion. So I think it could be Regulus and Sirius.
Could be Hunt's parents.
And Hunt is their child. Yeah. Because also remember that when Bryce was in that room Dusk and was looking at the orrery and looking at all the notes, they talk about the planet that we kind of think is Prithian and say that like their brothers and sisters there or the Asteri on that planet created those like hounds and like the hellhounds to be able to and then they say and those hounds were the prototypes for what the angels are in Midgard, and Hunt is technically kind of an angel but doesn't smell like an angel. So like did they almost like did the Asteri almost like create Hunt?
He was like bred for that.
He was bred to hunt the demons.
And so, like, maybe it was, like, the two Asteri came together, had a child that they thought could hunt the demons from Hell, the ones that were trying to come find them.
Yeah.
And then Hell found that out and killed Hunt's mom, which is Sirius. And but then they were like, well, he passes as an angel, so we'll just have him kind of, like be a general for the angels. But he's not actually one of them. Okay, we have a couple more theories to get to before we officially wrap it up. How did Jessica and Adas know each other? Because that is a relationship that needs like, so much more explanation.
We just kind of drop it at the end of the first book, like, and then we never
in the
really
epilogue. Like not like this is like
The epilogue. People
have like not read that and been like, oh okay, like
Which is crazy. I'm reading I'm reading the acknowledgements. I'm reading like, everything.
I'm reading everything. I'm like, who'd you dedicate this book to?
Yeah. Her bringing that up and then dropping it. And I mean, this also goes along with Hunt's father, even though they do kind of bring up the resemblance to Thur in Crescent City 2. But like, just bringing it up, being like, they both knew him. And then like, Jess was like kind of like a minor figure in the second book.
Right.
Like, she's not really there. She's, like, answering a phone call.
Yeah.
When Bryce needs her, but it's not anything of the level. And I'm like, why are you talking about this? Yeah. How, like, what?
Yeah, she just drops that little nugget and his father would be proud. Wow. And she goes, you knew him best.
You knew him best. Like, what does that mean? Like, why are you saying that?
Well, because I think there was also theories that potentially Hunt's father was Pelis. Because obviously the princes of the princes of Hell were there during that battle. So I think that that's really interesting, but Pelas was a bad guy, so I don't really want him to be Hunt's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, again, do we think Jezebel's even of this world?
No.
Like, do we think that she is born and bred in this world?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I think she is witch. She's claimed to other witches in other series. Yeah. That's what I'll say. Like.
Last question. Do we think, like, in the next book, because obviously based on the end of Crescent City 2, we are going to get Bryce's point of view from Prithian. People from, I think they said that's Bryce's point of view and then people from Prithian and then some people from Crescent City. But so we'll kind of know what's going on in Crescent City still. Mm-hmm. Who do we think is going to die? Let's make a death pool.
I'm like so intrigued to see if this book and like obviously the Throne or ACOTAR, not spoilers, but like if we get evil Elayne.
Yeah.
Like I'm so curious to see.
I know. Happens. It's hard to not talk about spoilers because it's like the whole theory, about ACOTAR. So it's like,
is a crossover.
You know, it's like with Nesta's power, how is that going to play into mm-hmm. her like connection to Bryce? And like, oh my God, there's just like so many things. And I'm kind of worried about Cassian.
Wow.
I don't want to say it, like, but I am. Like, it's really tough for me. Like, I'm really worried about Cassian. I think for sure Pollux is going to die.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about him. I feel like that's an easy one. I feel like his death is imminent.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I feel like either Declan or Flynn's going to die. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think all of them can survive this. Yeah. And I feel as though it's going to be Rune or Hunt. One of the two, and I like am so worried, but like one of the two of them is gonna die in those dungeons.
Oh, like I don't know if they're gonna die in the dungeons, but
it's like worse than death?
Yeah.
Do you know what I know? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, for Hunt having that crown on, her, is probably
I
was worse.
Say,
than
I could
death.
See her like not killing them off and like making them like the worst version of like themselves.
Yeah,
having to pull themselves out. Mm.
Anyways, this has really taken a turn for the worst here on this podcast. All the other ones were like, we love these books. It's so fun. And this one, we're like, everyone's dead and we're upset. But we cannot wait for this new book. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we've been holding ourselves back on full theorizing. If you have read every single Sarah J. Maas book that is out,
you've read all of
at the moment, please tune in to our final episode of this little offshoot and listen to Nicole and I absolutely crackpot over some theories. Yeah, if you thought this was bad, just you wait. Just you wait because there's a lot more that can come in. And I think obviously it's pretty clear that there's a crossover between ACOTAR and Crescent City. So that leads us to believe that there could be a crossover with Throne of Glass as well. But we obviously know some people haven't read Throne of Glass. So we didn't want to bring in any theories with that in case you haven't gotten there yet. We don't want to spoil that. But if you have read it and you're ready to put your tinfoil hats on with us, tune back in tomorrow and we will be discussing all of that. So with that, Carly, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure to talk about books and crazy theories.
But you know what? Until next time, we'll see you guys on the internet.
Until next time, we'll see you. Bye.